I too am from the Hesperian Foundation, but today as I stand here, I want to really honor all our sisters in the disability movement who worked with us to produce this book, which you can also see at the Hesperian booth upstairs in 303. So Hesperian publishes books that help people transform the communities that they're living in, books that work with people in their social justice struggles and enable poor communities to take control of their health and of their lives. So this really is our latest book. It's taken a while. But this book really happened. Okay. It started really, the idea started about 12 years ago now at the Beijing Women's Conference, where Hesperian had actually taken the manuscript of another book that we had, which is Where Women Have No Doctor. And there was just this one chapter on women with disabilities. And Beijing Conference was very, very hard for women with disabilities. It was raining all the time, and there was like not very accessible. And people decided that they wanted a book for themselves. But for Hesperian to do this book with women with disabilities took a long, long time. As you see in this room too, you see that there are not too many people with disabilities in this room. And whether the interest is there or because, people don't know, this is true of health information too. This actually represents that I believe APHA has now said that disabilities will be a section from, right? And so I really want to thank APHA for making this possible, that from interest it's becoming a section. So should I just continue with this? Thank you. So what I wanted to really talk about is the things that pose a problem for women with disabilities. And that's not the impairments that they have. It's really attitudes outside of themselves. The barriers are not within themselves. The barriers are created, and the barriers make people disabled. And I'm sorry, that slide is not very clear, but what it does say is that Beatrice from Colombia has a speech impairment and missing fingers from a birth defect, but nurses seem always to be afraid of her and act as though her disability is contagious. Jessica from Malaysia is deaf. She almost died because no one at the hospital could understand her when she was sick. And this goes on, and whether it is in education or in health, it's mostly the attitudes of people that prevent. I mean, if there's a deaf woman who is brilliant but has no way to communicate and no one to communicate with her, then she cannot fulfill what, the purpose that she's been created for. Let me quote another woman. This is Lizzie Longshaw. She says, "Disabled women are seen as children, and you don't give children any responsibility, so women with disabilities get excluded from everything, from education, from healthcare, and from land ownership." And so this book really talks about it's time for women with disabilities to stand up and be counted. We were three of us women who helped write the book, but this book has really been written by thousands of women all over the world. We did community reviews of this material with women from many, many countries, and people looked at, as we had problems in figuring out how to address issues, women with disabilities helped us say what they wanted to be said. So this book is not about disease-related disabilities. It's not about physical therapy or medically managing your own individual disability. But it is women information for women with disabilities. It's information for their caregivers. It's about women with disabilities organizing, making their voices heard. And it's been really fantastic. We've had, we've worked with people from A to Z, different countries, from Afghanistan. I mean, you will see some of those comments, and it's just a fantastic process where the women owned the book that we are so proud to bring to you. Simple things. So if you're often bent forward, stretch. know, and this is the kind of practical information that the book has. The other thing is that women with disabilities are taken advantage of, and people sometimes do more than they ought to be doing, and sometimes the doing becomes dangerous. So how do you tell someone, you know, how do you become assertive and say, look, it's not really needed? So we suggest ways that people can actually say that, because as we were writing the book, we also found out that rape, violence, abuse is very high in communities where women are disabled. Or what happens when there is an accident and a sudden disability affects the whole family. And so it's a whole family here. It's not a medical case. It's not a number. It's not a patient. It's a woman with her family. So where are the signs of hope? Where do people organize? This is a group of women in the UK with people, women with learning difficulties. They started a group, and we used their resources while doing this book. The People First Liverpool. And so they did several booklets that would make health exams easier. Health exams are very hard for women with disabilities. Simple reasons. You don't have beds that are low enough. You don't have people trained to communicate with them. You know, and so for women with learning difficulties in particular, you know, you have to work with them and help them understand what it is that they're going to be facing when they go for, for various exams. So we have lots of stories in our book. This is one of them. Well, one of the ways that they organized to overcome the problems that they had was to start a revolving loan business. And it provides education, mobility aids, runs a drama group. Now, you find this sort of thing in many, many places. For example, there is another group from Bangalore who also began to manufacture their own aids and sell it. And it's all women with disabilities doing it for themselves. There are fantastic resources within the community. This woman she was a Paralympic champion, and she is a medical student at Stanford. Sherry Blowett, for those of you who might know her. And when we did our community review, we had people from all over. This is the group from Afghanistan who said, you know, we had materials on sexuality, on violence, on rape, and all of that. And she said, well, maybe you're going a bit too far, more than what we can cope with in our community. But it might create unwanted side effects, people reacting strongly to such details. And another group in Bangalore, but they give us actually much more than we thought possible, and made this book so rich. So people wrote to us, handwriting, by email, by fax, you know, so lots and lots of... One of the difficult problems that we did face was how do you talk about choices? How do you talk about abortion for a community that, for whom often that's the way that they are pushed to go? So how do you talk about issues like that? So we asked them, I mean, how do we talk about reproductive health? And so we said it's a personal choice, and many women with disabilities do want to have children. And a lot. This book really talks about how do you care for a child. It also talks about abortion when people do want to make that decision. I'm just going to speed through this now. Anyway, about pregnancy and childbirth, women with disabilities have much the same concerns. Often these are discounted, but we want this book to be used when people want to make choices for their own health. It told us what kind of hearing aid use and it's available. And we also have sign language in this book for various words that health workers would find useful when they work with women with disabilities. We already have several translations, as you can see, and more are in the making. And I just hope that this book will be useful for women all over the world. And as far as we know, there isn't a book like that. Finally, I think I will end with maybe a story that I would read from here, which is not in this, but so this is the book, Breaking Barriers in Nigeria. Ekiate Judith Umo is from the oil-rich Niger Delta of Nigeria, and she's a polio survivor. Today, she's sometimes called Mama Mainstream because of her insistence that all healthcare programs include girls and women with disabilities at every step of program planning and services. She who wears the shoe knows well where it hurts the most, Ekiate says. We are women entitled to whatever services are provided for other women in our society. In 2000, Ekiate founded the Family Centered Initiative for Challenged Persons, which this is an NGO, and she describes they have a Healthcare Without Barriers project. The aim of the project is to make reproductive healthcare services, including information on HIV/AIDS, accessible to women with disabilities. And so they translate reproductive health information into Braille for blind women, and they hold monthly meetings to discuss sexuality education and parenting, pregnancy, and disability. And it also works with an organization that provides health education. And so they invited them to their training programs or workshops. And they make sure that workshops are held in places with access for wheelchairs. And they're also challenging their own government. And they say they are challenging their governments, multilateral organizations, civil society. And they say, with everything that you plan in development, you must have a disability lens to look at this. And this is what we say as well. Women with disabilities need to stand up and be counted and our voices heard. Thank you.